Hello everyone and welcome to the grand final edition of the Super Footy Podcast. I'm Anthony Hudson, he's Michael Warner, he's Sam Edmund, as we look back on a massive weekend. One of the great footy stories of all time is the Dogs got home to win the flag over the Swans.
Sons of the West!
I feel like I've sung that out about 50 times the last couple of days. It's amazing. I just totally fell in love with it.
Mick's normally the one that brings the music, normally pretty badly on his phone, but it was good stuff, Mick, wasn't it? Even a hard heart like yours.
I was just going
to
say that.
Cynical, was there any tears person like myself. Went to the Witten Oval yesterday with Sammy Edmund and about 100,000 other people, and it is, as you say, one of the great footy stories. I was at the game. I was with my dad, who's a Western Bulldogs supporter.
Oh, so hang on. So what happened?
I know. What did happen? Worst decision of all time to barrack for Richmond in 1980.
I've got a similar story. One of my good mates is a mad, I'm talking mad, Richmond supporter.
Yep.
Works a bit in the footy industry, so he's, you know, knows a lot of people around. But his son... they live in Willie, and his son, at the start of this year, he lost him. He lost him to the Dogs.
Whoa.
He's only seven. Oh. Lost him to the Dogs just because of his friends and all around that area, the Dogs. And he ended up, he'd promised, I don't know how many years ago, that he wouldn't go to another grand final until it was Richmond in it. And then he got some tickets at the start of the week, and he was going to say no, and his wife said, no, you've got to take your son. Imagine, because he was seven when the Tigers last won.
Yep.
So took his son along and said it was just one of the best days.
So has he turned as well? Because I wouldn't blame him. Richmond are that far off that standard of football that they may as well be in another competition.
Anyway, let's not mention that club again for podcast. The Western Suburbs has been like Vegas for the last few days. It's been unbelievable. And you speak of that family day, there were people lining up there at sunrise. By the time I got there at 10, there was three lines, and they went for about 300 metres each just to get into the Witten Oval for the family day. They had to open the gates up an hour early.
It was almost dangerous, actually, wasn't it? There were that many people. People were fainting and decaying.
It was, as Bob Murphy said,
how many people were there.
This is our Woodstock.
Mm.
And he just looked out over a sea of red, white and blue. There was no grass.
And
he could not
even
see
alive
grass.
For Woodstock, I wouldn't have thought.
No, maybe not. But unbelievable.
And to win four finals, you know, finish seventh. I know they had that extra week, but
it's Gill's premiership, really, isn't it?
Well, he certainly had an influence.
Well, is it just me? Is this the best premiership ever? Now, I'm sure you could lodge argue. It's a massive call. Not the best game. There's been better games.
In
not disputing that.
KJ was telling me this morning that he remembers what a great win it was by the Bombers.
This is true. But seventh on the ladder, never been done.
You mean like
two interstate finals wins? Everything. Well, it goes into the mix, doesn't it? Let's have a look at it. The drought, they've only won one premiership. They've only been in two grand finals. Then they won it from seventh.
Three.
Now.
Oh, two previously, yep.
Then they won it from seventh. Then they've won two interstate finals. Mm. Then they've had all those injuries. They've sacked the coach. The coach they've got has only been there for less than 24 months.
Yep.
The captain walked out. It all goes into the melting pot of the most unlikely flags ever.
No, it's definitely the most unlikely. I think I said somewhere it's fantasy football, but it's real.
Has he transformed the way that we play the game?
Well,
we used to copy Clarko for years, and now.
And I think that's one of the most admirable things of all the different things that are admirable about Luke Beveridge, and there's plenty.
Mm.
To me, that's one of the most admirable. He didn't come with a plan that was, you know, just to copy Clarko. I'm sure there's definitely elements of the Clarkson coaching traits that he's bought, but. Hawthorn's trademark is kicking, and there's his handball.
Yeah, and Clarko said himself, we've got to get up to speed with what Luke Beveridge is doing, which is probably the ultimate accolade from Clarko.
I just can't get over the feeling of goodwill. I mean, the fans, you just got to love it. There was a lady at the family day yesterday. Her name's Meredith. I hope she won't mind me retelling this story, but she sits in the cheer squad. And she said, for whatever reason, they put the nets down early from the goals to protect the punters. Now, this is why they're up for litigation, I guess. But at the last second, she's looked up and there's a Sharon about to clock her in the face, being kicked from 50 metres away. She put her arm up instinctively, ball cannons in her arm. She hears this loud crack down her forearm. She's like, oh, this is agony. Something's happened here, a broken fracture. And I said, well, what, you missed the game? No, I didn't miss the game. I sat there, waited 50 years, 60 years for this. I took a couple of Nurofen that my old mate had. And then I sat down and watched the game in agony. And I said, well, so you went to the hospital that night? No, partying on. And then we're here now, and I'll probably go to the hospital later, but I'm not missing the family though. She's probably got a broken arm. She's 60-odd years old, walking around it up.
Was it Molly Meldrum? I'm trying to remember. I think it was Molly that got knocked out in the 66 grand final. or he got concussed in the crowd or something like that.
Did he?
There's someone, anyway. If it's not Molly, I apologise.
Yep.
But there's definitely a St Kilda supporter, or a prominent one, who have been to their one and only flag but can't remember it.
There was a heart attack at the ground. Dog supporter had a heart attack in the last few minutes. Now, if you're ever going to have a heart attack,
all right,
he's okay. Paramedics on hand saved him, and the defibrillator was there or whatever, and they got to him. But if you're ever going to have a heart attack, that's when you're going to have one, I reckon, the last few minutes of that game.
Well done, the Dogs. There's no hubris in their supporters. I think that's what you're saying, Sam.
Genuine.
They're all great people out there, and they deserve it. And that's what I said to you last week. If the Giants had won it, we might as well pack up and go home.
I agree. I think the grand final this year was there to be taken by any one of any teams, and it was good that it wasn't the Giants because their time will no doubt come.
Yep.
And I don't think there was a great... The Bulldogs were a great team in the sense of team and all that. I don't think they were the best playing list we've ever seen. I don't think anyone could argue that. But well done to them. It's just an awesome performance. Yeah.
And the drought-breaking teams and the long-suffering teams, when they do win, they bring the best stories. There's so many great anecdotes and tales, and obviously the war stories of the players, the injuries we'll get to later. But Peter Gordon, well, they always thought he had his earphones in to listen to the commentary. But it turns out he's listening to sort of half-meditation music to calm himself down. That was a GWS game. And then in the grand final, he said yesterday that he had the earphones in. He was listening to the opening war hymn from Saving Private Ryan. I mean, talk about making it more emotional, if that is the case.
I mean, you're right, though. I mean, the amount of people that have put work in to save that club. I mean, I'd started as a journo in 1990, 91 reporting, so I did a lot of reporting on those early days.
I actually heard you on it during the week when Peter Gordon was first president.
On the year of the Dogs?
Yeah, was it?
Is that where it was played or not?
I think there was audio of that. I had a crisis meeting in 89. They're going to shut it down. I hear this voice. It sounded a bit different.
Had it dropped?
Back then.
Well, I remember covering a number of Bulldogs coaches, like Alan Joyce getting the sack. I actually lost my mobile. Whenever I speak to Chris Grant, I always remember this story. Silly little story that it is, but I was out at the Western Bulldogs. There was reports that it was either Wheeler or Joyce. I reckon I covered both of them. I think it might have been Terry Wheeler when he got the flick. And we were out there, and Chris, I had this big mobile phone, as it was in those days. It was a 3W one. And Chris Grant turned up, and so I put the phone down on the thing that I was just nearest to.
With two hands.
Put the phone down. And then went to interview Chris, to grab Granny and try and interview him on the way, doorstop him on the way in. I came back and realised that where I'd put it down was on the flatbed of a ute. And he'd driven off. And I never saw that phone again.
You're kidding.
And that was not a very popular thing to do. I mean, they're probably worth about $5,000, which is probably worth $50,000 these days. So I always remember that anyway. Silly story. But, yeah, I mean, to remember... And I reckon,
AFL, let's face it, there were vandals at the AFL who wanted to get rid of the club.
That's right. And I heard someone mention this over the weekend. I mean, this could have been Fitzroy winning a flag if sentiment and feeling thinking, strategy had been different in those days.
Good on them.
All goes into the mix.
Great day.
I was just going to say, I love the fact that we've been able to, in the Herald Sun today, unearth this post-match routine they've got now. You know, Hawthorn had horses, and they even actually had Dale Braithwaite in the room himself one year after they won the flag. But this is so Gen Y, isn't it? They turn the lights off, they dance around in their undies to all sorts of music, Rolling Stones, Satisfaction, Earth, Wind and Fire, and Australian Choral's Errol, I think, was the song they chose after the grand final. But the lights go completely dark, and you think, how does Dale Morris and Matty Boyd survive in there? But apparently they get into it because no one can see them dancing. They're the worst dancers at the club. It's just a great... And that goes into the melting pot of camaraderie, doesn't it? The immeasurable. And this is down to Beveridge and the players.
Teams are going to start doing it now.
It's just that tight bond, isn't it? You get the impression that it's not fake. They actually have a genuine love and care for one another, don't they? And maybe that makes a little bit of a difference.
Well, what does it do? And we'll talk more about the game and that in a moment. What does Luke Beveridge do for everything he's done to other clubs when they analyse their coach, analyse the way they play, all those sort of things, analyse where they're at as a team and as a club? Do you just go, well, he's just a unique character and he can do that, but we've got a different coach? Or, you know, even for Brisbane deciding...
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think Brisbane, it's been reported by John Anderson that Fagan will get the job. I think that's a mistake because he's an older man.
Mm.
And so Barker, to me, would be the obvious choice. You have to relate to the kids. The secret to Beveridge, they say, is he knows the balance between berating a player and putting the arm around him, and he found that. And look, Fagan may well be able to do it, but I'd be going
for aside that. From that, isn't it odd that Fagan hasn't coached at all for, what, 13 years?
Yeah.
Since Tassie?
It is a little bit odd. I think he presented brilliantly, from what I understand.
He hasn't coached, though.
Is it an insult to the other coaches in the comp? I think it is.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's been a coach.
I know he's working hand in glove with Clarko. I know all that.
All those people. So,
but, geez, it seems odd.
I mean, Brett Montgomery, I believe, had another interview on Thursday.
Really?
Last Thursday, I believe, or Wednesday or Thursday, he was back up in Brisbane. So he's interviewed very well and gone back a couple of times.
Would that be to work for Fagan?
Well, it could be, but I'm not sure. I don't know about that. So
certainly the Carlton players love Johnny Barker in charge. Whether he came along at the right time after the sort of, you'd have to say, more strict, more stern approach to Mick Malthouse, but it's like Beveridge coming in after Brendan McCartney, the cuddler coming in, it's the good cop coming in after the bad cop.
Mm. Do you think, did he have a hand in you losing your role, or was that more when Bolton came in?
No, it was probably more Bolts. No, okay. Don't be stupid. It had nothing to do with that, of course. I just think...
I don't think we brought it up for at least a couple of weeks.
No, it's been probably 5 minutes. Johnny Barker, he reminds me in a way, strictly as an outsider, of Beveridge. You know, he just relates to the younger generation. Who perhaps need to be cuddled a bit more. Yep. I don't know.
Anyway.
The moment that certainly got social media talking the most was post-match. Was obviously the handover to Bob Murphy, yes, with the medal and all that. Well, I think we had an interesting, our Jason Johansson looking producer told me we had an interesting question or comment off Facebook saying, that was great, but he would have liked to have seen Beveridge actually hold up the cup.
Well, that was my spot on instinctual.
That was my feeling
at the time,
too.
But you know, look, that sums up Luke Beveridge. Mm. To even think to do that at that time, I think it came out that he asked Mark Evans just beforehand for permission to do it, or just run it past him.
Yep,
would have done it anyway.
He did,
but. Yeah.
What happens to the medal? What happens to the medal?
Well, the medal, I think. I actually suspected that Bob would say, that's great, Luke, in the weeks to come, but maybe, here you go, take it back. I don't think that's going to happen. My understanding is he's going to keep it, and I asked him yesterday, where's your medal? And all he did, Bob, was just point to his pocket and his jacket. He said, it's in here. And I said, well, can we see it? He said, no, some things I want to just keep for myself. But one thing that jumped out instantly in the press box watching it was Bob, he stood right in his way as well. Like, he just, and you can't blame him. He would have been totally overwhelmed by the situation and emotional. He did not look at Luke Beveridge. He stood in his way. Bevo had to walk around behind him and say, hey, I'm still here. You know? So I reckon if he had his time over, I've heard maybe, and this is being a bit harsh, but if he had his time over, maybe Murph might have done it just a little bit differently. But you're not going to say no, are you, to that sort of gesture?
Peter Gordon's asked for another medal to be struck.
Well, come on.
I don't think that should happen.
Come on, Mick.
Do you?
No.
What do you think?
No.
Slippery slope.
But it's sort of less than the...
Slippery slope.
Just on that broader... Do you think the other players should get a medal? Do you think that... Or
no.
Even just like some other... even if it's not the grand final day one?
That's footy. You know, you're either in the team or you're not.
I'm not against it. No, because I think it's more than the 22 contribute to getting them there.
If you've played a game in that year...
If you're a premiership player...
Yeah, you know you're not a premiership player, but you're part of a premiership club.
Well... Do they do it in other sports?
I believe so.
Yeah, NBA. I mean, you've contributed to them winning the flag, have you not? I mean, if you play every game and you're best player...
It's not a contributed to winning a flag medal, it's a premiership medal.
Yeah, okay, that's a premiership medal, but should
Which
you
means
get...
you played in that game.
Yeah,
that day.
But imagine if you played every game, you've been best on ground, you've won
the
Brownlow.
What if you kicked the winner in the prelim but done your hammy in that game?
Your mate Cam Mooney said, you didn't play, you're not a part of it.
Mm. Yeah, but
Moons is a part of the 99 premiership.
Yeah, go
he
on.
He didn't get a touch.
Yes, it's a good point.
But he impacted the game.
No, he didn't. He did it in a negative way. He got dragged,
he played
actually.
In it. Anyway, look, maybe, but I think you don't change history. We keep changing things in footy.
Mm.
We do. Well, that's because we've got all this time. We've got to fill it. We've got to make things like podcasts. So we come up with ideas of how things should be.
It was a great moment, what Luke Beveridge did. It'll go down in history. And just let's just leave it as it is.
Was Jason Johansson the right pick for the Normie?
Mm. Well, I picked him. So
I had him too. I had him too. But
have you watched the game back yet?
Only the last quarter.
Can't do that.
Mm.
I know he cooked a few.
Yeah, he did.
But I thought his run just got more and more important as the game got on. When game was crying out for linebreakers.
He was the four-quarter player. I think that was my over. We had Vossie in the box, and if there's a Beacon rewind, I've got it. We forgot to put the pressure on him like they did to me 2 years ago. When I did it, it was the worst experience I ever had doing the Norm Smith voting.
Well, we had Jay Clark doing it for us in the press box.
And there people was you're getting texts, you're getting people saying, oh, gee, he's playing well or whatever. I actually said, I'm never doing it again if I'm on air.
You're in the Glenn McFarlane mold. Glenn McFarlane had an absolute mare of a time dealing with the stress and the pressure and the consequences
the
of his decision.
Year when people kept yelling out, give it to Selwood.
It was the Brian Lake year. It was the year Brian Lake won the Norm Smith. And, Macca was saying, Glenn McFarlane was saying, look, he initially said no to Patrick Kane. And Patrick said he's the only person who's ever said no. And then he changed his mind and said, oh, so yes, I'll do it. So
I wouldn't do it again if I'm on air.
Well, it was one of those games, wasn't it? It was one of those games where you could lodge an argument for a good three players, I reckon.
Well, I did get some, at three-quarter time when I went out the back, I spoke to someone who was sitting next to one of the judges and they said, oh, they're in all sorts of turmoil. If the Bulldogs win, they don't know, you know, because it was hard from the Bulldogs. Other than Johannesson, they hadn't been that
consistent. Should that matter?
Hamling was I think Buddy kind of got away, and he was injured a bit. He got away for a period of time.
Tom Boyd. Kerry gave him the three and didn't give Johannesson any.
It surprised me that he didn't get a vote, Johannesson, from Kerry.
Kennedy got a vote from every judge.
Kennedy was the best player, clearly, at half time.
Yeah, clearly. Colossal first half.
But I don't think... I mean, he kicked one more goal. He had about 12 more disposals.
And my boy Pickin.
He was terrific.
A
few people wanted to bat for him too.
Well. Boyd had six contested marks.
Most on the ground.
But he only had four touches in the first half, but he kicked two goals. Yeah. So it was tight. It was close.
I went Johannesson, Parker, Boyd. But, I mean, it was... Kennedy. It's hard to know what more Kennedy could have done, to be honest. Look at the numbers.
True.
Yeah. How do you play a better game than that?
Yeah, but it was... He was quieter in
the
second half.
He faded a bit. He still had 12.
I thought Heath Grundy was superb for this.
Grundy and Rampy were absolutely colossal for the Swans. Yeah. Amazing games.
Let's talk about the Swans. Maybe there's other individuals we can talk about. But what went wrong for the Swans? I mean, it all went wrong in terms of...
Kurt Tippett went wrong.
Yeah.
He had an absolute stinker.
I wouldn't say he had a stinker.
Oh, he did. For his wage, he had a stinker.
For his wage.
Well, Gary Rowan had another mare that's going to take...
Is it just me? Hmm. Should Sydney trade Kurt Tippett to keep Tom Mitchell?
Are they related in a way? Could they be related? Well, free up salary cap room.
It's about space.
Who's going to pay Kurt Tippett's wage?
Well, someone even though they pay some of it. The Brisbane Lions were linked with him last year, I think. He actually played, I think it's a reasonable question, because he clearly hasn't delivered. And the other thing that that complicates it is that Sam Naismith, is whatever his name is.
Yep,
Sam.
Sam Naismith came from
Not
nowhere.
Not Sean Ralph Smith.
Went ahead of, who was it? Sinclair?
Yeah, he's come in as a ruckman. And he had a pretty decent first quarter, didn't do a huge amount after that, but... He's become a pretty good player. And really, I think if you look at this year, Kurt Tippett was actually playing some good footy until he got injured, but it was in the ruck.
Mm.
So,
and would another club pay him the money?
Well, they'd pay him some. They would definitely free up enough cap to keep Mitchell.
If you could be sure that it was going to keep Tom Mitchell, then yes.
You'd do it.
To answer your question, you'd do it.
Sam Reed's the other one who will either get traded, or I think will get traded.
It's unbelievable they could lose Tom Mitchell.
It's ridiculous.
They just don't have enough coins in the piggy bank.
Find some.
That's the consequence of getting a bloke in on $10 million for 10 years and Kurt Tippett.
No,
of course it is. Goes into the mix, mate.
No.
Oh,
he's only on a million. And he's
a year.
Yeah, he's delivering.
I'm not saying he's not worth it. I'm just saying the consequences of those deals are you lose these players.
Just on Buddy's game, and this is to be hypercritical, did he try and do too much? It looked to me like he didn't. I reckon there was three or four times
he just wanted to steamroll blokes.
He did, but didn't. He didn't take the first option. He missed handballs.
He did his ankle.
I know he did, and you could see that he was just
frustrated.
He felt that he had to really do it on his own. But
I think the game was robbed of him a bit.
I thought he played a good game.
The game was robbed of him a bit.
A good game.
Yeah, I was very happy with his game.
Well, I agree with what you said. It was robbed. You wanted to see him at his best. I mean, he kicked that clutch goal in the last quarter and thought, righto,
how good was
here
that
we
guy?
Go. He's going to do
what
it.
What a moment but that was.
I thought that was a bit disappointing from
got caught holding the ball. Which
well, that's what I mean.
What
because he didn't take
the Boyd story is pretty good, isn't it?
I mean, Boyd's story is amazing.
What, the heat he was under.
Just before we come back to the Dogs.
It was a terrific recruiting decision. Would be born
Hashtag good luck.
2 years maybe, and then they would win a flag on the back of Tommy Boyd.
Before we go back to the Dogs, just
did
quickly.
Did anyone else say that or not?
Did they? the risk, or risk if I can call that, to play Callum Mills, one game in 6 weeks it was coming in, probably didn't pay off. Wasn't to his normal level. And I know everyone goes in banged up, but that one probably didn't work, do you reckon?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's always one of the great things of grand finals. As soon as
hindsight.
You hear a story. He had a broken back. Usually there's, you know,
liver,
couple of broken Liber's legs, ankle. Couple of this and that, and we got plenty of those again. So, but yeah, Callum Mills started nervously, got caught holding the ball, did a couple of things, intercepts things. But it was interesting talking to Mick Malthouse in the lead up. I'm always interested in getting that insight into the coaches on the day, and they, you know, and Mick tells us stuff that you think he would never have said when he was the coach. In fact, he would have said the complete opposite. But now that he's being more honest as an analyst, he's, what would you be worried about? I asked, what would both coaches be worried about going in? And he said, it would be Mills and McVay. You would be just so worried whether you made the right call or not.
But
how'd McVay go? I can't really.
He was okay.
I thought he was all right for a pat. I reckon he kept Daniel. He played on Daniel and shut him out early. And there's probably 10 or 15 minutes where he did a couple of McVay things and just sort of controlled things, but then he went out of the game.
But for all the war stories about Sydney, and they were well documented, the Dogs were as banged up as anyone. They took some massive risks. So Easton Wood, someone told me, probably should have missed a month with that ankle injury that he had against Essendon.
And didn't he aggravate it in the dance? He aggravated it in the...
Celebrate? The rave?
Well, either in the rave or on the in the game.
He needed an injection.
Cheap and unnecessary.
What? No, Liver did his ankle.
Liver did his ankle celebrating the GWS win on the ground.
On the ground, yeah.
In a four-way mob.
Okay, and maybe I got my wires crossed.
Yeah. And he couldn't train the start of grand final week, Liver, and needed some tablets, I believe, to actually play in the game. But Easton would need an injection for every single final. And Morris was so sore with that back, as you would expect. They said before the Hawthorn game, he needed help getting out of his car. He couldn't actually get out of his car. So they were as sore as anyone.
Yeah, they were. That's incredible.
Canterbury didn't help, though, did it?
No.
He went off.
Beacon rewind on the free kick.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Unbelievable that wasn't a free kick.
There's a couple of those in the game.
Oh. Yeah, there was one on the other side of the ground as well.
I saw Luke Ball's comment saying at the time, you thought it was just a contest, but then when you watch it back on replay, it was rubbish. And the press box erupted when that happened. No one could believe that wasn't a free kick. It was he just took his legs out.
Their best
player. You know, player. Well, one of them.
Yeah, I didn't think at the time it was as obvious as what you were saying.
Well, maybe from the angle. I just saw him just get skittled completely.
I sort of got there at the same time.
And so I thought Wood, and this is the problem with the rule, is I think
Wood went low like
Easton Wood, yeah.
Slid in and took his legs out. That's the
really,
mecha.
Did he really slide though?
Like, watch it again.
If Canterbury had gone lower.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But he didn't. Anyway.
He just wanted the ball more.
It was the absolute mechanism for that free kick.
And
it was brought in.
The pain for him physically and mentally. He tried. Oh, he came back.
Oh, it's hard to watch, wasn't it?
He couldn't kick.
That kick on the outer side. He's like, I don't think
Oh, watching him warm up, he was running in straight lines. And like, oh, he's going to be all right. And then he went to change directions. He went, oh, no, can't do that. Then he came on anyway.
My Beacon rewind, because you mentioned him, Mick Malthouse.
Yep.
Liam Picken sits at Williamstown for 4 years under Collingwood's watch, and they don't take him. Do you think maybe they regret that decision? The Bulldogs came in 2008 and said, we'll have him.
Mm. Yeah, they were concerned, the Pies, were they not, Mick, that he was a little bit too rough around the edges?
Too scrawny and a bit scrappy.
Cooked it a bit, yep.
But he's still scrawny and scrappy, and he was a player of the final.
Awesome.
I love his
hindsight, though.
Would Mick regret it or not? Because he'd be in Bucks' team making them better.
Very nicely done.
Have you got a Beacon, Hutto? Am I putting you on the spot
you
here?
You are putting me on the spot.
Okay, we'll
come
back to
it. I've got one somewhere, and I thought I might have mentioned one already, but I'll come up with one.
Well, we danced around that well.
It's not really not very well at all. What about now for both teams? And we've touched already on the Swans, but what about the Dogs? Really, they should only get better, shouldn't they?
Travis Cloke? You reckon
he's there?
He's pretty much there already, Mick. So it's not really any point in
it. He was actually in the dance, I think, post-match, Travis.
He was being fettered yesterday.
On someone's
feet.
They've
got Stuart Cramery coming back.
Well, they've lost Redpath. I'd argue they're not going to give up anything to get him, barely, are they?
No. They
a late pick.
Even
and
they were saying
a bit of cash.
Post-game that their one area they fell down was at high half forward with the big man with the link-up.
Yeah. Look, if anyone is going to...
That could be Cramery.
If anyone is going to get back to some semblance of past glory, they're going to do it at the Dogs, aren't they, with this guy? So it gives him the best chance. Work his magic.
Probably win the Coleman under
Bevo. I'm not convinced, though, that we're looking at a dynasty or a run of flags. I don't look at them the same way as maybe... What is it? Oh, no, I'm not. No, that was a disgrace, wasn't it? No, I'm not quite that severe. I just... don't look at them how I sort of looked at Hawthorn, and I probably could very well be wrong here, but I just don't see... Yep, yeah, no, all that.
When you're talking about players and effectiveness on the weekend, in a scrappy game, the Bont had 100% kicking efficiency.
I need to own up to a Beacon rewind on myself. I undervalued his game.
You gave the best players in the...
People don't understand. You don't have a lot of time to do these.
Bont in your best
players. Yeah, but I didn't probably have him... I didn't have him high enough.
Criminally underrated game, John Ralph says.
Yeah, he's right.
5 hit-outs to advantage, 20 out of 22 touches effective, including every kick, 7 tackles, 6 clearances, 2 score assists.
Mm. Good game. Maybe he set the bar so high.
The second half was very, very good. His first half...
People don't realise you don't have a heck of a lot of time to do these things either. No. Like, 24 hours after, 48 hours after, okay.
I think it's one of the great things, actually, about Grand Finals is watching the replay back and you go, oh, because every moment is so critical. I didn't see that or I didn't realise that was...
And that's the thing. The game was played in almost repeated 5-meter areas, wasn't it? It was just so frenetic and tight and contested that the ball would spill out, but it was really hard to keep track of the 8 contests.
Be kind, rewind, though. You talked about one umpiring decision.
Here he goes.
What about a couple of others? The Hanbury one was one. The high tackle on Clay Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a terrible decision. He threw his head back.
Couple on McLean.
And it looked like... McLean gets a couple...
He's good at it, isn't he?
But McLean does get taken high. You can accuse him of dropping the knees, but he does.
He does.
I can't quite remember
that one. Joel Selwood must have been his favourite player.
I can't quite remember that one that you're talking about, though.
It ended in a goal. Clay Smith kicked the goal. Forward pocket. Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I need to see...
Canterbury came in and there was a marginal amount of brief and he just... Yeah, went for it. And I just thought it was disappointing.
Do you think the umpires affected the result?
I think that Swans got smashed in the free kicks 20-8.
Every side that plays the Dogs loses a free kick count by nature of the way they play. But that was a very lopsided.
But the other one was Rampy. Was the other one got caught for holding the ball? That also led to a goal.
And there was an early goal.
He was penalised. That was a mistake.
There was a Dixon goal early that Grundy tried to take a one-hander, but he was actually getting bear-hugged as the ball came in. I thought it was a free kick to Grundy.
Yeah. Yes.
I couldn't believe that. And he went off.
But having said that, Buddy, I know he didn't kick the point, but he probably interfered with Hamling on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
There was the over... Imagine that if that overrule...
It
was touched.
The frame rate or whatever you call it wasn't high enough because the frame almost jumped from pre-fist to fist. We needed somewhere in between that frame, but it came down to millimetres. And Johannesson, maybe for those voting in the norm, we sort of thought, well, who knows, mate?
Even though he didn't kick it.
Yeah.
You're a field marshal in your other life, the champion data stats guru, and weren't the Dogs outside the quadrant? The champion data said they can't win it.
That's stuffed their quadrant.
Luffy will be in tears.
And he loves this show.
Now they're going to have to say...
Bevo's changed the game and champion data must change with him.
Now they have to say only two teams have won outside the quadrant because there was another one. Sydney in 05.
Sydney, I think, yeah.
Sydney 05. So, yes.
There's something wrong with the computer.
We might not see Kingy whip out the quadrant as many times next year.
So, a tough day for Luffy. Bad luck, Luffy. So, do you think... Who starts premiership favourite next year?
Tigers.
GWS.
Yeah, I think probably the Giants.
Tigers.
But we just ignore that. The Dogs will do a bit, though, won't they? Rovat. Ling Jong, probably. To the Suns.
Collingwood's pulled out, we hear.
It's nice
of them to do that to him, wasn't it? Come down for a tour and embarrass you and then we're not interested in you.
Got some bad advice.
I don't think he's what Collingwood need because he's not a great... Collingwood need good ball users. But I think Ling John will be great for the Suns. So I think
he'll
be a very good pickup for them. So
just been told here by Jason Johannesson, who's moved in to produce the show, that the Dogs and GWS are joint equal favourites with the bookies. Yeah. But the Premier always is.
I couldn't care less what the bookies say. They put out a press release at 2 minutes to go in the game. Go away.
Next year. What about the handballing of the Dogs, the fight club, the handball club?
That
sort of stuff. Do they... I was speaking to one umpire who will remain nameless.
Ooh, I like this.
And he said it is...
Goldsmith. It surprised me he's sort of fraternising with umpires.
It is. It is extremely difficult to tell whether they are throwing the ball or not.
Oh, of course. Bloody tough game to umpire.
I think if you watch, I actually slowed down a couple of Libba's handballs.
They're unbelievable. Sometimes
slowed down a couple.
No, I did. Well, Libba's I paused them on the IQ. And
I tell you what,
you
getting out much lately.
It was this morning. It was preparation for the podcast, boys. I was watching the first quarter, and I thought,
"Honey, I'll be at breakfast in a minute."
Have a look at. Well, it's interesting because it's.
Oh. Actually, I got another beacon. Right,
the flicking of the ball.
Don't miss your flight to Fiji because you're pouring over Libba's handballs and slime.
Beacon rewind, the Victoria University ad in the
Age.
Oh,
that was...
Commiserations.
For those that haven't seen it.
No.
It says, you know, bad luck to the Dogs, but we're still proud of you. And
well, it's not their fault. It's probably someone else's fault.
Yes. Someone at the paper might have made a blue there. Because there's two, to tell people who don't know, there's an ad in the Herald Sun and there's an ad in the Age today from VU, the major sponsor, one of the major sponsors of the Dogs. The Herald Sun one says, congratulations, you won the premiership, we're right behind you. The Age one says, well done, great year, good on you for trying, but no, you haven't quite got there. Now, I think what would have happened is VU give two versions and human error might have taken place at one of the papers.
Yeah. Well,
unfortunate.
I mean, because that's happened before in media, things get rolled out that aren't meant to, like... obituaries and things like that.
Well, the SCG website stuffed up as well. They said, Swans fans, come on down the SCG to welcome the premiers onto the SCG on Sunday Family Day.
Remember, there was a club, was it Essendon, that put up a video of a player that they drafted before the
draft? Adam Treloar, what about he?
Adam Treloar, the video that was done.
Before the deal was done. Yep. He was down in Hobart getting surgery.
I think Premier League clubs have done that a few times too, started manufacturing jerseys and whoops, we've just been gazumped.
Any other final words and thoughts on the GF on the day, boys?
Lucky to be there. Don't know about you guys, but absolutely privileged to have witnessed it.
I turned around with a couple of minutes to go where I was sitting and there was people in the standing room only and I was just watching the faces of the Bulldogs, elderly people.
It's a bit creepy.
You. I was happy for them.
They thought you were a creep.
Certainly didn't do that when Hawthorn won their ninth in 15 years, I can tell you. But it was just great to see another club win it.
Well, that was great that they actually, I mean, you know, from a commentary point of view, you're hoping that it goes right down at the very last second. But it was great, wasn't it, that they actually got those scenes on the bench, that took some of the shots that the snappers
Nick
took.
Garmston's, it's the best photo, if you haven't seen it, of the bench as the siren goes. It is. I'll tweet it on the pod. We've got a pod Twitter.
Hashtag SuperFootyPod.
Yeah, I'll tweet it and have a look. It's the best photo of the grand final by a mile.
And I think with the Dogs, their support staff is actually...
Walkley stuff.
You actually recognise a few of them because they've been like the two doctors.
Yeah, the two doctors.
Zimmerman and Landsberg,
so it is fantastic. Great shots from down there. And they got that extra, those few minutes to celebrate on the bench. So.
And I reckon yesterday at the Railway Club, Sam.
Railway Hotel. Yarraville
was one of the greatest days of all
time. You just would not believe Yarraville the last few days. It has been unbelievable.
And is Yarraville normally a footy suburb or is it a bit too...
Yeah, no, it is. It definitely is.
Too what?
Too trendy, whatever.
Yeah. No, but what I've noticed is living out there, it's like our footy, it's almost like been like going back in time. There's such a stronghold of Dog supporters there and bandwagoners, I'm sure. Mm. But there's still a lot of local people there who would have walked to the Witten Oval.
Yep.
The railway, they totally repainted. Yeah. Red and white and blue, so... Been great down there.
Fantastic.
The other one, Susan Alberti.
Getting a tat.
Where is the tat?
We have to be there to see this.
Where's it happening?
Her and Chris Grant are going down to get tattoos on
She hasn't
ankles.
Sorted it. No, she said the ankle was too painful, she'd been told, so she's working at another location.
Where would
she's
you
not
suggest?
Sure. Don't know. Never. Haven't got a tat. Wouldn't have a clue. I'd pick somewhere
will
where
you
can hide it.
If the Blues win the premiership, will you get a tat?
Just a little tie. Tat with CFC on it.
People like that, though. She has given $25 million, not to the Bulldogs, but to charitable organisations. Millions to the Dogs, though.
And she paid for her supporters' teeth.
Exactly. So that's why it's a special
story. All into the mix.
She's Collingwood.
Lucky she's you're right. Lucky she's not VP at Collingwood.
Bankrupt.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What about the Brownlow night, boys? Before we move on
Brownlow,
to trades.
Yeah. Did you say?
As expected.
Haven't we done a podcast since then?
I don't think so.
No.
We did the podcast on that day.
When is...
I'm just going off JJ's running sheet. Maybe he got it.
Who won it?
Oh, please.
No, massive win to
the
Cats.
Great effort from Danger. World record.
The biggest award, though, that I take out of the entire week was Bryce Gibbs winning the longest kick competition. Mm. And just a great win for Carlton.
Did you know he can kick that?
Blokes who can kick long.
Any chance Bryce goes to the crowd?
Management say it's complete garbage.
No way. No way.
Would you do it if you were Carlton?
No way. No. I wouldn't.
Is he in Carlton's next premiership side?
Well, who knows how well Carlton are going to go, but he's 27.
Yeah, given what's happened at the Dogs.
So the time is on his side.
We don't know.
And, I mean, he could be 30, 31, 32, 33. He could play for a while. I'd be mortified if they traded Broski.
Would you do it, Mick?
I'd seriously look at it.
For what?
A good pick.
Well,
or picks.
Well, their first plural, pick.
Because Adelaide are desperate to bolster their midfield.
That's why they should draft. That's why they should.
A dog father offer.
That's why they should go for Dustin Martin.
A dog father offer, did you say?
Your dog father.
You see those T-shirts? Luke Beveridge, the dog father. Come on, mate. You're man of the people. Get away from slowing down Libba's handballs.
Yeah, well, exactly. They can have him as well.
Sorry for doing research for the show, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, yes.
Well, that's the Brownlow done. No. Other trade.
So it starts Friday, free agency and trade period.
Your boy Vickery.
Monday, Vickery.
Still confident?
Yes. Need to probably re-plug into all this, Mick, to be honest. Yeah, we've taken a bit of a sabbatical.
It's actually been good, though, actually, that there wasn't anything that happened last week in the lead-up, was it? I think it, normally they wait a day and then it's back into it again.
So free agency Friday. Will Petrie go west? It'd be interesting. What happens to Brent Harvey, Chris Mayne to Collingwood?
Harvey, his manager said today, long shot now to play on.
Vickery, we know about, he's a free agent. Yep. And then Monday, that's your O'Meara's, your Mitchells, your Cloaks. Essendon, will Essendon give up pick one for two early picks? And should they? How that happens, I'm not sure. GWS, maybe.
Yeah, GWS. I think it's just how you rate the players. Did you see any of Friday afternoon's game, the Punt Road game with all the...
No, Judd V. Judd V. O'Loughlin.
Yeah, I only saw a couple of minutes of it, but...
Is that actually part of the whole scouting thing? Like, do they go hammer and tong, do they?
Yeah, well, it is. It is, yeah. This is the first time that game's been played.
Very undersold.
Where the best players are.
It was on telly? Or?
Yeah, it was on Fox, yeah.
It's broadcast.
And I got back from the parade and all that sort of stuff and watched just a few minutes of it. But, yeah, McCluggage certainly didn't do his reputation any damage. And it's when you actually, when you actually watch those kids and you think, oh, he could come in next year and do something like that. And you go, as much as you think, oh, we'll trade Bryce Gibbs and we'll get him in, you think, get this kid in, and in 2 years, he could be doing that out there. So I reckon it's a massive call for the Bombers to trade it, to be honest. But
do you?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. But then again, they're saying it's an even draft.
And that's why I don't want it.
Well, it depends what they're offering. I mean...
Mm. Well, Melbourne did it, didn't they?
Well, you want two picks inside the top, 12, 10? And they did have two early picks. Isn't that how they nabbed Parrish and Francis?
Did they do it last year, did they?
They did it last year.
They got Carlisle.
Yeah, they got Carlisle.
I thought they had five and seven last year.
Francis' pick was Carlisle.
Right.
And they had their own pick as well. So I think that was how they did it.
And just with Carlton, Carlton, they need more picks. Marchbank is...
Give out your first pick for him.
No, I would not. Not on his own, absolutely not. Right. They need more picks, not less. So they need to get that three inside 21, whatever the magic number was last year. They just got to keep drafting kids.
The Suns need players, and they just need to find ways of getting players for them. But
I can't wait to see what happens. Well, Tony Cochran, the man who does not bluff.
Ben Lennon's one that could well head there.
Yep.
If Richmond try to keep pick six and send three or four players to the Gold Coast for Prestia.
Yep.
Yeah, Prestia's one. Prestia happened quick.
Are the five Tiger Guns, big names, all going to be there next year?
Well, someone told me today that only three are untouchable now: Martin, Rance, Cochin. So, Deledio,
I don't
think Geelong can get him because
why not?
Well, no cap space, no picks.
Can you trade a future pick again?
You can't get him if they trade Motlop.
Well, I think the footy on Focus on Footy would get back in if Motlop traded
to Tiger Leo,
and I'd head the ticket.
Would you? And what would your first point be?
That can't happen. That's not a fair trade, is it? Motlop for Deledio?
No way. Probably not.
Well, I think if you knew that Motlop was committed, I reckon.
And you knew that Deledio's Achilles maybe was a flash.
I reckon it's a win for Richmond if you knew he was committed, but you just don't know that, and that's what Geelong haven't been able to
put that in the champion data quadrant category. That's wrong. That is not happening.
Right. Okay.
But you're a Geelong man. Are they interested in him?
Absolutely they are. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, but the Cats need to get back in the draft, so they do absolutely have to get back in the draft.
Interesting times for the Cats.
It is interesting times.
Mm. Who's Geelong's third best player?
Yeah, that's good. I think you asked that last week.
I think you did too. Yeah.
Well, if it becomes Brett Deledio,
it should be Tom Hawkins is who it should be.
Yes, yes.
But
Well, Hutto, it's been a great year working with you again, mate.
Has been.
Well, so
we hope to get you back next year.
Yeah, if we can fit you in the cab, we've got a bit of a Sydney situation.
We're coming back though
we'll have to play for free again, Sammy.
We're coming back.
I feel like Tom Mitchell.
We're coming back at the end of trade period
for Buddy's sitting over
a trade podcast. I think every day you're going to, during the trade period, you guys are going to have a big deal.
We are.
Trade.
The big deal. Will you be back from Fiji for our trade wrap podcast?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, Bula.
Fiji. I'm just, and you think I'm just going there to get the sun and the surf, but unfortunately I'm not. I'm going
and
to
drink kava. Is it kava?
Going to cover, not sure, but I'm going to cover a golf tournament, the Fiji International with
big event.
Vijay Singh.
Snedeker's there, though.
Yeah, Brant Snedeker, played straight from the Ryder Cup.
Do you watch the Ryder Cup?
I watched as much of it as I could. Good, yeah. You were probably watching some cycling.
I was.
Nondescript
some,
cycling event were you watching?
Esteban Chavez, event. Big win for Orica Bike Exchange. But anyway, go on.
What was it called?
Never mind.
Mate, anyway, fell into that.
Thanks for being with us all season on the Super Footy podcast. Thanks to John Anderson and Sammy Landsberger and whoever else filled in on occasions when you boys were off on holiday and just strutting your stuff somewhere else. But we appreciate all the support and all the feedback we've got through hashtag TradeHQ and at Superfooty on Twitter. We'll be back after the trade period, as we said, to wrap it all up one more time. But hope you've had a great season and go Doggies.
Sons are the worst.